Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Average Joe. I'm Average Joe. Today we have got a show that's I have been doing some research this week, and we're going to be talking about reality and human perception. And like I told you last week when we were talking about paranormal, I told you we were going to get a little deeper this week. And, we've been talking about the fun stuff, cars and vacations and travel and all that fun stuff. But I think this kind of stuff is fun to talk about too. I mean, it's we're not curing cancer or anything here. We're not talking. I'm not a scientist. I do play one on TV, but I'm not a physicist. I can't even pronounce it. But, we're just talking. It's something that I've enjoyed talking about for a long time, about reality and human perception, and so we're going to get into that a little bit. And I hope you guys will call me, and I need your help. Give me some perspective. Give me your viewpoint. The call-in number is 914-219-0884. That's 914-219-0884. And I do have an email if you want to just send in your comments. It's averagejoe, that's without an E on the end, @carolina.rr.com. Averagejoe, no E, at the end, @carolina.rr.com. So, as always, we always start talking. We talk a little bit about what the VFW Post 2908 is up to. Let's see. Saturday, September 1st, is National Tailgating Day, and that's everywhere, I guess. We're going to be tailgating in our parking lot starting at 6 o'clock p.m. Wear your team colors and bring on your game face. I don't personally do sports, but I'll bring my game face. We will be participating in the tailgating challenge. Don't have a truck or a trunk, bring your chairs. Come hungry. We're going to have a chili cook-off contest. It's a $5 entry fee, and the 50-50 wins. Not sure what that means. And then, of course, otherwise, bring your own meat, hot dogs, hamburgers, steaks, whatever. They'll have grills available to use. Tailgating snacks and sides will be provided, like potato salad, macaroni salad, baked beans, and desserts. And then music starts at 6 o'clock. And Above Average Joe and myself will be doing the music, and then karaoke starts at 8 o'clock. And then, of course, there's going to be some tailgating party games. On every Tuesday night, we always do bingo. Starts at 7. And the location, by the way, is 119 Anderson Road in Albemarle, North Carolina. On the bingo, the prizes will total up to $2,500 every week, depending on the turnout. And all the proceeds go to benefit the veterans. If you have any questions, call 704-982-6383. And then this is a non-VFW related event, but it is a charitable event for the Butterfly House, which is an organization that takes care of, I think, battered children and women. They're doing a Dancing with the Stars, Stanley County Dancing with the Stars. And I have to mention that my grandson Spencer is going to be in that. And that is 7 September. No, I don't have a date. No, September 8th, that's right. And I don't know where that is yet, but I will be announcing that on the next show. So, let's get started on talking about reality. Again, the number is 914-219-0884. So this is a subject that we could talk about for every episode from now till the end of time, because reality is a pretty wide open subject. again, I'm not an expert. It's just something that I enjoy talking about and listening to other people's versions of reality. But just some things to think about, and just some things that I've really been trying to study and put some notes together, and this is probably definitely one of the hardest subjects to, even though I kind of have a good understanding of what I've researched and looked into. Sometimes I'm not the best communicator in trying to pass that on to the listener or to just a fellow conversationalist. So bear with me. So if you look around you, you know, wherever you're sitting right now, you know, we have, you know, five senses, you know, six at the most if you believe in ESP. And we our world is based on what you can see and hear and taste and touch and, let's see, what's the other one? Smell. And that's what we go by. And but we have to think about reality in that there's a lot more in this world that we don't see than we do see. I mean, we're just basically touching the iceberg or the tip of the iceberg, and what the information that we're getting may or may not be what is. A good example is, one of my favorite examples is the sun. If you look at the sun, you are not seeing the sun. Of course, you can't look at it too long. You can only look at it for about, for less than a second. But what you're seeing is what the sun looked like 8 minutes ago, because it took the sun's light that long to get from it to us here on Earth. So that is just a real easy general example of, you know, what you see is not necessarily as what's out there. So from my perspective, I had a textbook, a philosophy book, and I'm not a philosopher. I don't claim to be one. But the textbook definition of philosophy was the art, or is the art of wondering. And that's, you know, that's a pretty narrow definition, but I thought it was pretty cool because I do some wondering. And again, doesn't make me a philosopher, but and just I do wonder about the world around us and what's real and what's out there. You know, talking about the life, the universe, and everything. And is what you see, is it real, or is it an illusion? And I'd venture to say that everything is an illusion. So you may disagree with me, and I'm going to give you some examples, and I hope that the ones of you that's been following me, my post on Facebook, I posted a link to a video today with describing, well, it's basically about a 9-minute video talking about the double slit experiment. I mentioned that last week briefly when we were kind of segueing into this, that if y'all could Google that or look at a video, because trying to describe that without a graphical or some kind of visual representation or presentation is going to be a little difficult, but I'm going to give it a shot. but the video is Jim Al-Khalouli, I believe is his name. He's a professor, and honestly, I did not look up his bio, but I've seen this theory. It's been around since 1922, I believe. And so it's nothing new. It's not something that Jim came up with. It's just he's explaining what it is. A lot of the research that I've done and read and looked at videos is Tom Campbell, and he proposes that our world is a virtual reality. His series, he has a website called My Big Toe, Toe being a theory of everything. So life, the universe, and everything. So give me your opinion. Some of you may be hazing over about right now, like, what the heck is Average Joe talking about? Call me, 914-219-0884. So let me try to get through this double slit experiment, and this is important because it's kind of the basis of the argument, so to speak, of what is what we think is real and what is what could be an illusion, or our world being an illusion as we see it. This experiment is the central mystery of quantum mechanics. The way it works is if you had, they call it the double slit experiment, is because what they did was they had a piece of material, you know, just a board, and it had two slits in it, just an opening. I don't know how big the board was or how big the slits were, but you had one slit and then you had another slit right below it. So just imagine a board with two cut, you know, openings that are shaped like slits. And what they did was they took a light source, a monochromatic source of light. In other words, it was a particular wavelength. Just a regular light is like, you know, all colors from the spectrum, the light spectrum. But this was a monochromatic source, one particular wavelength. And when you put that light on one side of that board where you have the two slits, bear with me here, you have another board behind the board with two slits, you know, a distance away, and the light will show, instead of two slits like you would expect, it actually diffuses and it shows multiple lines like ripples. And it's kind of the same, this is the behavior of a wave, because light travels in waves. And just like a pond, if you were to put that slit or that board with the slits, if you were to set them down, turn them sideways so the slits are going up and down, and if you set them in a pool of water and you made a ripple on the front side, what's going to happen on the back side is you're going to have multiple ripples, but they're going to interrupt each other. It's called I told you this was going to be tough. Okay, so they're going to overlap with each other. It's probably easier to think about it with water ripples than it is with light waves, because we can't see light waves. But say with the water, you're going to have, they're going to interrupt each other. You're going to have crests and troughs, you know, waves. And where the crest hits the trough, they're going to cancel out. And where the crest hits a crest, it's going to multiply or amplify. So that's, you get the same kind of effect. You have all these points of ripples on the board behind it. So you see, okay, there's nothing weird about that. That's just the normal the normal property of light. Okay, so. Again, I'm struggling here, I admit, trying to explain this. So that property of light waves has been known for over 200 years. So no new information there. That's nothing astounding about that. So then let's take another step in this experiment. If you were to take the board that has the slits in it and you set it on its side so that it's like a table, and you put another table underneath it, and you pour particles. We could just use sand, for example. Just pour particles down on top of the two-slit board in the middle. Some of those particles are going to go through one slit, and some of them are going to go through the other slit. And they're going to have two separate piles on the board underneath. interference pattern. That's the word I was looking for a while ago. So that's basically where you have properties of waves and you have properties of particles. So that's the difference. The waves do the wave thing. The particles do the particle thing. So let's break it down. The next step. I'm almost there. If you take if you took atoms, so you have to take it down to an atomic scale, and you had a gun that could shoot atoms. So now we're thinking atoms are particles, so to speak, and you have the same board standing up, and you have behind that board you have a material that will sense that the atom has hit it, so it lights up. Then you shoot an atom towards that double slit board, and well, let's cover up one of those slits first. What you're going to see, you're just shooting it through one slit, so you're going to have one pattern of atom dots on the next board. Boy, I know this is really hard for you guys. It's hard for me, but trying to describe this may not be making any sense to you. I hope it does. But call me, you know, hey, maybe we can talk about it. Anyway, 914-219-0884. So I'm almost there. So if we have one row of lights on the back where it hits the backboard, so if we uncover that second slit and we shoot that atom gun towards those two slits, what would you think is going to happen? Well, normally you would think, okay, well, there's going to be two rows of lit up material behind that. But what happens is it acts like a wave, and you actually see multiple lines, just like we did with the light and with the water, because it acts like a wave. So now that's not the weird part either. We could just say, well, that's just a property of atoms, you know, that they somehow, it's just something we don't know how it works, but atoms just do that when you do that. So they even took it to the next step, and they shot one atom at a time towards those two slits. And you would think, you know, it's just going to have one line, you know, whatever. But it actually created that multiple lines again, even when they did one line at a time, or one atom at a time. Okay, so let's try to be clever. Let's take some kind of detection device that can actually see those atoms going through those slits, and let's point it at the top slit and measure which atoms are going, you know, in the top slit, and that way we can compare and we'll know how many went through the top and how many went through the bottom. Okay, so they did that, and sure enough, 50% of the atoms went through the top and 50% went through the bottom. But guess what the pattern looked like? It was two lines. It changed by observation and measuring it. Just by observing it, it changed. So let's be more clever, and let's don't let the atoms know, but we're going to unplug that sensor, but we're going to leave the sensor there. And they shot the atoms through there again, and it goes back to the wave-like behavior. Now it basically, what the whole point of the experiment is that the behavior of the atom changed when it was being observed. And this is kind of the point that Tom Campbell was working off of, this theory or this experiment, and the results in that when reality is observed, it's one thing, but when it's not observed, it's another, and that makes it a virtual reality. In other words, if you think about a virtual reality game, when you're looking at your screen and you looking ahead and you see whoever you're shooting at or whatever world you're in, the computer doesn't create anything but that on the screen until you turn your head, so to speak, your virtual head. If you turn to the right or to the left or up or down, that's when the computer renders that reality. In other words, it's not there until you look at it. So call me, 914-219-0884. I'm just listening to myself. I know this is probably really difficult to understand, just having, you know, just talking about it. But right now it's a one-sided conversation. But 914-219-0884. I did post that link for you guys to look at that for the presentation on the double slit experiment. So I hope that makes it a little easier to understand, even if you look at it after the show. So Tom Campbell, the theory of everything, his theory, and he's doing a lot of experiments even now to prove this, is that the world we live in is virtual. Now, that doesn't make our world any less created by God. It just means that that's the way that it works. It's hard to put your head around, but it kind of blows my mind to think about it. Looking at the criteria for a virtual reality, and this is actually based on like a virtual reality game, but Tom Campbell went off of this too. Number one is it has to be believable. You really need to feel like you're in your world, your virtual world, and to keep believing it, or the illusion of virtual. If you can't keep believing it, the illusion of virtual reality will disappear. Well, we definitely believe it because this is our reality. Number two is interactive. As you move around, the virtual reality world needs to move with you. You can watch a 3D movie and be transported to the moon or down to the seabed, but it's not interactive in any sense. So I would say our world is definitely interactive. If you touch something and you feel it, if you get hungry, you eat food to solve that hunger. The third is computer generated, and so I'll leave that one out there for you. Is you think this world could be computer generated? Who would be the master programmer? God himself. Explorable. A virtual reality world needs to be big and detailed enough for you to explore. I would say the universe is probably big enough. With realistic 3D, it says computer. Oh, no, wait, I'm getting my details here. However realistic a painting is, it shows only one scene from one perspective. A book can describe a vast and complex virtual world, but you can only really explore it in a linear way, exactly as the author describes it. So think about that. 914-219-0884. Call me. Golly, give me some feedback. I'm out here. So immersive, to be both believable and interactive. A virtual reality needs to engage both your body and your mind. Paintings by war artists can give us glimpses of conflict, but they can never fully convey the sight, sound, smell, taste, and feel of battle. You can only play a flight simulator game on your home PC and be lost in a very realistic, interactive experience for hours. The landscape will constantly change as your plane flies through it, but it's not like using a real flight simulator where you sit in a hydraulically operated mock-up of a real cockpit and feel actual forces as it tips and tilts, and even less like flying a real airplane. So those are kind of some basic criteria for a virtual reality. So there's, this is not a new idea either. Tom Campbell's not the first one the movie The Matrix. Do you believe we could be living in a matrix? I saw a special that was about God, and it was a secular viewpoint of God, and it was all the possibilities trying to decipher what is God and all that. That's the art of wondering. We're always wondering. But it suggested that, this is a virtual world, and that with the current technology and computers, in another 50 years, we could actually create in a virtual reality what you see right now. Look around you. Believe it or not, I don 't know. 50 years from now, most likely I won't be here, but a lot of you won't be here either, but it's interesting to think about. And then another concept, if you think about, well, if this is a virtual reality, then maybe if we were to create another virtual reality, then who's to say that whoever created this virtual reality or this reality is also in a virtual reality, and so on and so on and so on. So ultimately that, I would say, leads to God again. There has to be a programmer, a creator. You know, it's deep. I know it, and I guess you could say it's controversial. We all like to feel safe in our insecure in what we believe is reality, and that we get up and go to work every day or go to school every day, and the world is what we. The world is, our reality is as it's presented to us. I'm not saying that we're definitely in a virtual reality, but I do know that there's much, 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 much that we don't perceive. We're so limited in our perception. And I think you all would have to agree with that. We don't have a clue. I mean, we don't see ultraviolet. You know, all the bandwidths that we don't see or hear or touch. When you look at things on a microscopic scale, what the world that's going on that you can't even see. And then if you go to the other end of the spectrum and you look at it, you know, look at outer space. Space is kind of empty, but, you know, if you think about it, space is everything that there is in space, including us. So I know I'm kind of going all over the place here, but call me. We've still got some time. 914-219-0884. If you want to talk about this or anything else, if you had anything about the paranormal, we will be talking about this again. And I know I've just brushed the surface. And I'm not sure how well I did describing this, the question of reality and all that to you. But that's one reason I wanted you to participate. It might be a little bit easier with the conversation. But, you know, this is something that I've enjoyed talking about for a long, long time. And actually, the virtual world and the illusion of reality is something that I've really gotten interested in over the last 3 or 4 years, I guess. I didn't really care in the past so much. I mean, like, it is what it is, and it is now. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. It is what it is. I mean, reality is what it is. It's just there's nothing we can do to change what's real. We can't change our perception of it. But we can observe and ask and wonder and, pray on it. One of the things that I always try to pray for is wisdom. And, time and experience will give you plenty of that. So, I just want to have open eyes with what I can perceive, and I want to try to understand not only my world, but everybody else's world around me as much as I can. I know that I'm limited, and I don't, I can only perceive so much, and that's kind of the point of this whole show. We've only got just a few seconds left in the show here. We've got about a minute, but I appreciate you all listening, and I know that I'm pretty sure this was something that a lot of you may not have understood, but I gave it a shot, and we're going to talk about it some more. We're going to probably go back next week. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to talk about, but we're going to probably talk about something fun again, maybe food or something like that. I'm not sure yet, but we're going to come back to this because I know there's just so much more to talk about. And please give me your comments, averagejoe@carolina.rr.com. And remember, there's no E on the end of Joe. averagejoe@carolina.rr.com. Send me your comments. Let me know what you think. We'll talk to you next week.